As I told folks in Seattle this past February at Zazenkai, when I first talked on Lin Chi, I told them I was inspired to do this by the Moscow group who a few months ago picked this Burton Watson book, the record of Lin Chi, and Thich Nhat Hanh's book called Nothing to Do, Nowhere to Go, for their Saturday morning book group. They asked me if I'd write short comments on each discourse for their meetings. So back in February, this is part of what I wrote for discourse number 15. It is beautiful here lately, warm and sunny in the day, somewhere in the mid-40s, and crisp and cold in the evening, usually in the mid-20s. The stars are bright, the darkness vast, and the mountains that surround our tear-shaped valley hold us in their laps. The great horn owls are calling back and forth to each other, punctuating the ringing cold silence. I actually didn't send you all of this, did I? I only type like this, so I have to really shorten it, and then later on I add some stuff to it. So this is what I added. The coyotes must have moved down the valley because usually we see and hear them, but now they are noticeable only by their absence. This morning on the way to early morning Zazen, the moon walked the footpath. She came up the outdoor stairs, walked past the bowing down branches of bamboo, and entered the yurt immediately after I did. She circumambulated the yurt and took her seat near the altar. It was a lovely way to begin a day. We sat in the middle of stars and sky and cold and clear. We sat in the middle of trees, bushes, and grasses. We sat in the middle of sparkling frost and horses, of deer and of just arriving geese. When things are like this, and when are they not? It seems silly to make the fuss Lin Chi is making. Why bring up emptiness and Buddha? Why bring up Dharma realm and lotus treasury when the moonlight walks in our shoes and sits in our seats and chants sutras and does bows with us? Yunmen said, the world is so vast and wide. Why do you put on your robe at the sound of the bell? What is Yunmen saying here? The world so vast and wide. Vast and fathomless. Worlds within worlds. Worlds upon worlds. It is more vast than the heavens above and the depths within. It makes the universe seem like a speck of sand on the banks of a river. And when we experience the world as such, we are such. Each of us so vast. Each of us fathomless. We are immeasurables. When I sit, the world sits. When you stand, the world stands. This is not a narcissistic dream, but the reality of one who is multi-centered. So vast and wide, including and included by all things. Like a midnight field covered in snow. When the moon arises from behind the mountains, the field turns to fire, sparkling and reflecting. The moonlight causing accents and highlights. And with that brightness in the field, the moon itself seems to glow all the brighter. And then in this symphony of light, Yun Men's voice is heard again. The world is so wide and vast. Why do you put on your seven-piece robes at the sound of the bell? Please don't say, so we will be on time, or this is an appropriate action. Eiken Roshi says, that is commendable, of course, this being on time and acting appropriately. But Yun Men's words would have died a long time ago if that is all he was up to. He is not, nor is Lin Chi, about early or late, about good or bad, about right or wrong. They were not moralizing or teaching civil behavior. So why? Why? Wu Men commented on this question of Yun Men, saying, all you Zen students training in the way, don't be victimized by sounds. Don't follow up on forms. You may have realization on hearing a sound or enlightenment on seeing a form. That's natural. But don't you know that the true Zen student can ride sounds and veil forms? She sees all and sundry clearly, handles each and everything deftly. Perhaps you are such a person, but tell me, does the sound come to the ear, or does the ear go to the sound? And if you have transcended sound and silence, what do you say at such a point? If you listen with the ear, it is hard to understand. If you hear with the eye, you are intimate at last. These last two lines are especially curious, aren't they? If you listen with the ear, it is hard to understand. If you hear with the eye, you are intimate at last. If you narrow yourself, if you have any discriminations, I hear with my ear, smell with my nose, talk with my mouth, you have missed it. You have to hear with no ear, talk with no mouth, smell with no nose to truly hear, smell, and talk. The one with a true and proper understanding has, as Lin Chi says, no form, no characteristics, no root, and no beginning. It is when we let go of everything, even our most basic assumptions, my ear hears, my eye sees. It is then that we are most vibrantly alive. We are then not hemmed in by our assumptions, by our knowledge, and by our familial and cultural training. And we can then see what is right here, always, from before time, what is right here before our eyes. True Zazen, which is most simply stated as letting go, allows us to see, feel, and hear the light that is always brilliant and bright and always right before us. So as you'll see here, I'm still playing with this one image until I get it in a way that I sort of like it. So, when in the late night the moon finally traverses up the old path on the back side of the mountain and throws its light on the winter valley below, the snow glitters and sparkles like jewels cast wildly and with abandon. However, the jewels were there before the moon rose, but their glow was more subdued and held inward. The new light simply drew out and highlighted the natural sparkle and glitter of the snow. That is true for us too. The light already abounds. It comes from our eyes and from our mouths. It comes from our fingers and our hearts. But we are so busy searching and seeking that we can't see through the veils of our own misperceptions. So settle deeply and more deeply in your zazen, quieting, settling, being stilled. The ocean no longer throwing up waves called you or me. No longer throwing up waves called walls and buildings, called breakfast, dinner, or lunch. No longer called individual things. It is calming, fully content in being what it is. Not a wave or breath of wind arises. There is only Mu. There is just Mu, breathing Mu. You are now like a fish in the ocean, completely at home, rooted in your body, rooted in your body of practice. This condition is called Sagara Mudra Samadhi, or Ocean Seal Absorption. Eiken Roshi writes about this state of mind, saying, "We seal our zazen with our zazen mudra, left hand over the right, thumbs gently touching. Our minds are sealed with the serenity and depth of the great ocean in true zazen." On writing that, my mind was drawn to a passage from T.S. Eliot's East Coker, which echoes in our mudra. It goes like this. "Be still and wait without hope, for hope would be hope for the wrong thing. Wait without love, for love would be love of the wrong thing. There is yet faith, but the faith and the love and the hope are all in the waiting. Wait without thought, for you are not ready for thought. And so the darkness will be light." Quiet, patient, poised, and pregnant, each of you pregnant with the clouds and stars, with the mountains, rivers, and valleys, with the wind, rain, and song of larks and thrush. Relax. You will be birthed. You will give birth at exactly the right time, in no time at all. And now is simply in the waiting. There is no need to depend on anything. Just let Mu breathe Mu. Let the sounds fill you. Let your nighttime dreams dream you. There is no need to depend on anything. Let the bells ring you. Let the breath breathe. Sit with open hands and hearts, with no aversion, with no clinging. Whatever arises does just that. Depending on nothing scares some people. But when we depend on nothing, we become vibrantly alive. The structure and strictures that constrain and inhibit us fall away, and we begin to see truly what is right here before us. We begin to move freely in the world that is vast and wide, because we are vast and wide. With nowhere to go, she catches the bus to work with a smile. With nothing to do, he finishes the dishes and gets out the vacuum. With nothing to depend on, she plants the beans and squash after the first frost. This nothing to depend on is your happiness. This nothing to depend on is your joy, and it's the gateway of ease. This nothing to depend on is the way of knowing yourself and all others as complete intimates, closer than your own breath. So just as we do at the end of each session day when we say life and death is a grave matter, when we say all things pass quickly away, Lin Chi makes his urgent appeal saying time is precious. Moment by moment impermanence draws nearer. The elements of earth, water, fire, and air are waiting to get the coarser part of you. The four phases of birth, continuation, change, and extinction press on your subtler side. Followers of the way, now. Now is the time to understand that each of these is without characteristics. So with this last sentence, Lin Chi cannot conceal for long his eternal optimism. Even as he is bringing up impermanence, death, he is also saying, as did Dante's Beatrice, in each of these phases, look, look deeply, sit in the middle of any of them, and depend on nothing at all. Or as I say, sit with open hands and hearts, and you will find right there freedom. You will find right there no eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind. Right there in the middle of impermanence, you will touch no suffering, no cause of suffering, no cessation, and no path. Not moving at all from that middle place, underneath the Bodhi tree, you will know no old age and death, and also no ending of old age and death. But this experience is not an ending point. It is only a waypoint, an important one, of course, but a waypoint nonetheless. Now we have to face, respond, and live to the third of To Shui's three questions. So I'll end this talk with his short but dynamic query. He asks, when you are free of birth and death, you know where to go. When your four elements scatter, where do you go? So when you are free of birth and death, you know where to go. When your four elements scatter, where do you go? And please, as Eiken Roshi says, don't say nowhere. Don't say right here. Don't say in my grave. All of these responses may be true from an ordinary point of view, but please inquire further. Okay, thank you.